Welcome to the Mind Blown Podcast, where curiosity leads and discoveries follow. I'm Melanie Avalon, biohacker, author, and health influencer. And I'm joined by Scott Immens, entrepreneur, health enthusiast, and seeker of the unknown. Together, we're here to take you on a journey to the very edges of science, technology, philosophy, history, and beyond. Did you know in the minute it takes to introduce this podcast, around 6 million Google searches will be conducted, and at the end of 90 minutes, the space station will have orbited completely around Earth? Did you know when you shuffle a deck of cards, chances are that combination has never been created before? Also, according to Einstein's theory of relativity, time doesn't pass at the same speed for everyone, depending on how fast you're moving. Or how about the idea of quantum superposition? That's that particles can actually be two places at once. So is this actually happening right here, right now? One last fun fact that actually inspired the genesis of this show. If you remember Tinkerbell dotting the I in the Walt Disney logo, that never happened. So on that note, get ready for our adventure on today's Mind Blown Podcast. Welcome back, cognitive connoisseurs, synapse surfers, and epiphany enthusiasts to the Mind Blown Podcast. I'm Melanie Avalon. I'm here with Scott Immens with another surprise episode. Scott, are you excited?
I am. You know, there's something about being left in the dark that is both frustrating, but also super exciting.
Yeah, normally that could be a teaser pun, like left in the dark, something scary. But actually today's episode is not that at all. So it's all fun things.
I like fun things. Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, before we do that, do you have a mind-blowing fact to start us off with?
Melanie, I searched far and wide on this fact and went down a very deep rabbit hole that I think could be a future potential episode.
Okay.
All right. So I got on this whole thing with venoms. I think I've talked about this before. And I came across this venom from what is called the banana spider in Brazil. It's called the Brazilian wandering spider, sometimes referred to as the banana spider. Although this name is often used for various different species, yada yada, this venom can have very several potent effects on humans if bitten. The most common symptom when a male victim is bitten by this spider is guess what?
Oh, I get to guess.
Mm-hmm.
They get really sexually attracted to women.
That's really close. Really close. They get an erection that just will not go away.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be so like wrong and then inappropriate at the same time, you know?
But you were so right. Stick with your gut.
That was my answer in my head. And then I made it, I like toned it down.
The crazy thing is, it's the banana spider. So like, that's kind of hilarious. But yeah. So you get this severe, like 10 times like worse than a Viagra negative reaction erection that without medical treatment can permanently damage your penis.
Oh, how does it stop?
12-hour erections. They have to use either anti-venom. Then usually what they'll do is they'll release the blood flow or constrict the blood flow to the penis.
Wow.
By releasing, like cutting, you know, the blood flow supply temporarily.
And question, I don't know if you came across this. Like, could you get bitten by the spider and not realize it? Like, is it a painful bite? So then a man would just be like, what is happening to me?
The initial bite is not that painful. So it's very possible if you're walking through the forest, you know, you could get bit and just think it was a mosquito or a fly and not necessarily know it. The post symptom, so the next most common thing is a very painful, you know, skin rash where the bite happens. And then just general like discomfort and pain. But yeah, you could get bit by it and all this. Could you imagine you get bit and you're like, I don't know. Your wife's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Does it make women horny?
So it doesn't say anything about women, but I'll look that up in a second.
We're immune.
You are. So you have natural built immunity. But here's the even more interesting part of my part two of my fact, which is there are currently three pharmaceutical companies looking at this peptide that causes natural release of nitric oxide to create the next Viagra.
Is that how it works? The venom? It's like the NO?
Yeah, so it's a complex peptide, but one of the peptides that you could isolate and or sort of tone down is specific to NO, which is how Viagra works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, why I say this could lead into a whole series is there are 20 different currently marketed drugs that have come from initially peptides from venom, some of them billion-dollar blockbuster drugs, some of them you'd know that just came out recently. And it's kind of remarkable. And the science of these venoms is actually increasing. So there's a whole host of different venoms they're looking into, like funnelweb spider venom, box jellyfish venom, other snake venoms, Gila monster venoms. Like, then there's the crazy stuff with the snail cone venom, which, by the way, has apparently no cure. So if you get bit by the snail cone, you're basically a goner.
It kills you, or it gives you something that
just kills you. You're just done. Just, yeah, you're done.
Is it true that you're supposed to suck out the venom, like if you get bitten, like, you know?
So sucking out the venom can be helpful, but vasoconstriction is a better way to go. But yes, you can suck out the venom. You will, however, have some side effects from sucking out the venom, depending on the kind of venom.
I would be so helpless in any of these situations.
There's a fantastic joke about that.
I know. I think we should do the venom episode.
I think it'd be really interesting. I mean, I came across so many different types of venoms and the various medicinal purposes, and then sort of the, you know, ways in which these venoms work. So many of these venoms cause things like slowing of the heart rate, lowering of the blood pressure, destruction of the...
Should we save this for...
Well, I mean, this is just sort of a teaser because it's not going to give much away. But they are really complex peptides, but each peptide sort of has its own niche. And it really boils down to, there's three main categories, but then there's like seven or eight different other categories that these venoms affect. And scientists are getting really good with peptides and isolating the peptide from that venom that causes that specific thing.
Nice. I actually am doing an episode. I'm recording an episode next week all on peptides. So this is very fresh on my mind. Oh, I'm going to ask him about this. Oh, it's a good question. Thank you.
And if you post episode one, to get a little inside scoop for what you could ask, I have a very specific thing I bet you'll want to ask.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that'd actually be great because I read his book very fast and I feel like I could do a little bit more prep. So awesome. Okay.
What do you think about this banana spider venom causing erections and it being researched for erectile dysfunction?
So it's very fascinating.
I mean, why would that even be a side effect? It doesn't even make sense. Like, how does that help the spider?
Maybe that intense NO release wipes out animals or something. You know, I don't know. I'd have to, you know more than me.
Yeah, I can't think of a direct result in the spider's benefit from that kind of venom. That's what's weird about it.
So I would like float it in the sevens. The pharmaceutical aspect, though, I find really interesting, which like floats it up to the eights.
Yeah, I think that's good.
An 8.69.
8.6. Are we doing hundredths now?
I actually don't want it to be that high. Wait, an 8.2?
Yeah. Yeah. When I first came across it, I was thinking it was a 9 because it's so bizarre. But then I'm like, this probably isn't that super unique.
I find it really interesting. It's very fascinating. I really like the part about the pharmaceutical drug. So, yeah.
Yeah, that should. I think if the audience, if we get any yays, I think it'd be a great episode.
I think so. I'm down. No, pun intended. Okay, I've got one.
I just got that.
I've got one. So I'm trying to decide. I was going to do it for this one specific animal, but there's actually a few other animals that do this. So I'm trying to decide if I should make it a broader category. Fun fact. Okay, so my original fun fact was that mice and rats communicate at a high frequency that we can't hear, and they like sing to each other, which is so cute. But then I realized other animals, we can't hear them either, but it's not that many. So it's mice and rats, some frogs. Okay, so for high pitched, like some frogs we can't hear.
So let's quickly define high pitch, right? So human hearing is what, between?
Up to
20,000 hertz down to 10 hertz.
So below.
Humans can't hear below 10.
We hear around, was it kilohertz, the K? Wait, hold on. Let me check something.
Well, I think it's 10 hertz to 20,000 hertz. So it would be 20K if you were using kilohertz. But I think it's 10 hertz to 20,000. If I'm right, I get a gold star.
Okay. So humans hear in the range of 20 to 20,000.
I was really close. 10 to 20. I said 10 to 20,000. I was right in there.
Yeah. So we hear, okay. Yes.
So the mice and the rats are squeaking at like let's say 30,000 hertz.
So they can sing. That is so cute. Well, it starts at 30, which I guess we could hear that.
Very few humans can hear above 25,000 hertz.
Okay. Oh, wait. I wonder if that means 30,000. Okay. I think I'm reading this number wrong. So 30,000 to 110,000.
Yeah, we're not hearing that. That's interesting because I knew a lot of aquatic animals could do that. I didn't know there were mammals that could do that.
Yeah, me neither. And apparently hedgehogs do as well.
When they say sing, are they singing a language or information? Or it's just that they are somehow communicating in that range?
So they, when they're courting, it's like they have songs.
Maybe the most soprano voice wins.
I'm just going to make my fact all about these mice. Okay, so it's songs. The male mice sing the most. Not surprising. wooing the woman. It's chirps, whistles, and syllables and patterns that can be, quote, surprisingly intricate. They might have like repeating motifs. So like, you know, like a song. And then each male has a slightly unique voice or pattern, which can signal their genetic fitness or their identity. And female mice may prefer certain song types, especially more complex or higher pitched ones.
You know, that's so funny because didn't you grow up your whole life just assuming that like mice would just breed, period? You know, right?
Who knew they were like singing to each other?
Yeah. I'm not blown away by that, but I like it because I didn't know that mice could communicate in that fashion. I also love the intricacies of the fact that it's related somehow to mating and finding the right mate. So I'm going to go with a flat 8.
I'll accept that. Yeah, I don't find it like super mind-blowing, but I find it really interesting. And that we can't hear it.
I classify it as super interesting, not totally mind-blowing.
You know what's also interesting? It also says that there's some debate, but it's possible that cats can produce or detect frequencies that we can't. And that might explain why they can like hear things that we can't.
And per our episode a few weeks ago on my fact about cats killing 12 million little mammals and 4 million birds, I'm pretty sure they probably can detect those sounds.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun. All the animals. Before we jump into today's topic, we have this week's winner of my Avalon X Magnesium 8, which is the best magnesium on the market. It contains 8 different forms of magnesium, and it's in a glass bottle, no problematic fillers, and it will help you so much with your recovery and your overall health and wellness, your digestion, your mood, your relaxation, all the things. And to enter to win, you can just write a brief review of the show on Apple Podcasts, and then each week we pick a winner. This week's winner is MKB's daughter. That's the handle. And the subject line is blown mind. With the mind blown emoji. I like that, the reverse blown mind. And MKB's daughter says, "Your episodes are very interesting and mind stretching. I have thought of many different mind blowing ideas over my lifetime, but haven't discussed them much. Your back and forth between each other just adds to the listening enjoyment. I highly recommend listening. I look forward to every Saturday when the podcast becomes available for my listening." I love that review.
That's a great review. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, MKB's daughter. I know Scott and I spent a while trying to decide which day to release it, and we picked Saturday because we were like, it's like a great like weekend listen, you know?
Yeah, you're chilling out over Saturday. You just want to just sit back, maybe have something non-triggering, just something easy and fun to listen to, but also educational.
Yeah. So thank you so much, MKB's daughter. That is such a beautiful review. Send a screenshot of your review to contact@mindblownshow.com, and we will send you a bottle of Avalon X Magnesium 8. Hi, friends. If you've been wanting to try my Avalon X Spirulina or are already obsessed like me and want a portable, travel-friendly version, we now have a mini size available. I am so excited about this. I am obsessed with spirulina because it is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. In fact, it is so nutrient-dense that NASA worked with it to help support the nutrition of the astronauts in space. It is a powerhouse. We're talking a complete vegan protein where a serving contains 625% of your daily vitamin B12. Yes, vegan B12, over 1,500% of your daily vitamin A, 100% of your hard-to-get vitamin K, and over half of your daily iron. And it's not just that. It also contains potent longevity compounds, things like glutathione, superoxide dismutase, CoQ10, GLA, and so much more. It's almost shocking how incredible spirulina is for your body. So much of our health and longevity involves meeting our nutrient status, and spirulina can help you do that. It supports energy, immunity, even beauty, and detox. It took a long time to develop our spirulina because I was obsessive with getting the purest, highest quality spirulina out there. I searched high and low and found the perfect version of spirulina. It comes from the pristine, clean waters of Hawaii, from an extremely environmentally sustainable production facility, and it is purity tested to the max. Not only is it tested by the facility, we third-party tested it for over 70 pesticides, as well as heavy metals and mold. And the new mini version is so cute, so it's an amazing way to try it if you haven't tried it, or if you want to buy a smaller order, or if you want to travel with it, it's the way to go. It comes in beautiful glass bottles to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And by the way, it tastes amazing. Yes, I tasted so many different ones. You can get spirulina, including the large bag and this new mini size, at avalonx.us. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off. And you can get text updates when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And doing that will get you a one-time 20% off coupon code. You can also get email list updates at avalonx.us/email list. I can't wait for you guys to try this spirulina. Grab the mini version now. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off at avalonx.us. Okay, are you ready for today's topic?
I don't know, Mel. We'll find out.
Okay, it's kind of like a game, not really. You can let me know how you want to go about this. So basically, I came up with a ton of things that you can get for free in life that you might not realize.
I'm going to love this.
So what I want to do is for like each thing, I want you to tell me, like, I don't know if we should like, I want to know, A, like if you've done it, but I want you to know if it's like worth it or not, basically. Like, is it worth going to the effort to get this free thing? Like, would you do this?
Okay. Well, I'm down.
I guess you can just give me your thoughts on each thing.
No, I get you. I get the premise. I'm good. I like it.
Yeah. And so I could do it like random, or I could do it by category if you want to do categories.
I like category. Let's go by category.
Actually, but before the category, I'm going to start. Actually, then we can do that category, which is money and finance. It's not that long of a category. One of these free things, Scott, which I'm going to start with, because why not start big? I didn't realize this was a thing, and I did it, and I got $250 for free, and maybe more. Do you know what this is?
Did you have to sign up for something?
No, and this is like available, and then I went down the rabbit hole seeing if there was any more for other people in my life. Do you know what this is? I feel like you know this. It's something with the government.
I think it's some kind of insurance.
Unclaimed assets. Are you familiar? Oh my gosh, you're not familiar. I'm so excited.
I'm semi-familiar, but I don't have any idea about the detail.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is so fun. Literally, it's like the lottery. So not really. It's like the lottery, like you like are entering the names and seeing if you're going to win something. So basically, unclaimed, there's like all these different companies throughout your life that you engage in that could have money that they owe you, but you never got it. And it gets reported to the individual state. And so you type in your state.
So like you're part of a lawsuit you didn't even know about.
No, not necessarily. It could be lawsuits. It's a lot of like insurance. What mine was for was, I guess, my credit union from USC in LA. I had interest that accrued and I never like claimed it and I stopped using that card. So I had like $250 just like waiting for me. It was so great.
That is cool.
Okay. So basically what you do, friends, is you just type in your state and check like every state you lived in. Oh, I need to check LA. I didn't check California. I just checked Tennessee and Georgia. Oh my goodness. Maybe I have more.
Is this an app or is this like online?
No, it's just like Google. So like go to Google, type in your state and type in unclaimed assets, and then your government website will come up. And then it usually requires like your name, your address. Like your name and your address. That's pretty much it. And you can look up okay, if you have relatives that passed away, you can look them up. And you might find that like your relatives who passed away had unclaimed assets. And then you can claim on their behalf if you're like their child.
Okay, I like that.
So when I Googled it, I had those two and they were real, which was so exciting. My brother did it in the past. Apparently he got like $500. My mom had a few. My dad, actually everybody in our family had some except for my sister.
It's gotta suck. She's like, wait, what?
But I'm excited now because I got to check California because I only checked Tennessee and Georgia. Yeah. And so basically it was so easy. So then once I was like, oh, that's me. And so then I got the two claims and then I put in my social to like verify. And then they said they're sending me a check.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You're going to have to do it after this.
I'm literally like putting in my notes right now. Don't forget to do this.
And you know, it makes me wonder like who has the biggest unclaimed asset and they have no idea, you know, there's probably somebody out there that there's like millions of dollars in this like unclaimed asset that they don't know about.
Oh, I would bet you there's somebody out there. I don't know about millions, but I would bet you that, well, it's possible, but I guarantee you there's someone with tens of thousands.
At least for the Georgia one, it shows you like under $5, over $5, over $50. So like you can know if it's worth it. Cause some of them were like under $5 and it's like, don't know if that's worth it.
Not worth the effort.
Yeah. Okay. So my other money finance ones are, so this one is like, I mean, this one's obvious, but I think people don't really realize until they actually do it. But there are so many free things on credit cards, like benefits that you might not realize. So for example, I just went and got TSA PreCheck. Do you have that?
No.
Do you know what it is though?
Of course. I used to travel a ton and I used to have all kinds of silver, premium, gold status awards plus PreCheck, all that. But I haven't done PreCheck TSA because I didn't really want to get my retinal scan and facial scan.
Makes sense. That makes sense. Well, I went to get it because it's like too late now. I feel like I'm already out there. And I found out my credit card pays for it. What? Because it was like $80.
All right. So I got to pause you right there, right? Now that is awesome and cool that they paid for it. But I have this whole theory in life that if it's free, it's not really free. And that's why I'm freaked out. Like, oh, hey, my credit card's going to pay for them to take my retinal scan and my facial scan. Like, it just freaks me out. It
doesn't freak me out because they want you to sign up for the credit card. The way you're paying for it is having the credit card. That's how they're making their money, you know? So they put all these benefits to try to get you to sign up. But I think, so many of them are like, you don't realize the benefits are there unless you like go look through the fine print.
So that's very true. But I want to add on to that, Mel, because this is really important. So there's a couple of financial gurus that I followed when I was traveling for corporate America forever, like 30 years on the road. You want to consolidate your points programs and the things that you want into two credit cards max, one ideally, because then you can funnel all of those points into that system. I would say divide it into two in the event that that other system goes belly up or it doesn't work. But like I divided mine into basically cash back from Capital One and mileage from Marriott. So I had two major cards that I used for everything. So like, let's say I was going to a Marriott hotel. I would always use my Marriott credit card because I would get triple points, sometimes quadruple points. And so even like years after I stopped traveling, I was able to get free rooms anywhere in the US because I had millions of Marriott points.
So it was actually my Marriott card that paid for the TSA. You want to hear my argument for four cards? Are you ready?
I do, but I'm not sure I'm going to agree, but I'm open.
I think you'll agree after you hear it. Okay. I agree. Maybe not. So I totally agree. Ideally, ideal world, we would put everything into two credit cards and one would be personal, one would be business. So then basically everything you're doing that you're putting on a card, if it's business, you rack up the points on that card. If it's personal, you rack up the points on the other card. So like I have a Delta card for business for airfare, and I have a Marriott for business for personal. Oh, sorry, a Marriott hotels for personal. And those are Amexes. So you got to have a Visa backup. Oh, actually, so this could be I'll change it to three cards. Okay. So you got to have a Visa backup anyways, if you're Amex. Amazon Prime card from Whole Foods. Literally, if you have that, if you only shop at Whole Foods and Amazon for your personal stuff like me, like I do, you literally get 5% back on everything all the time because it's 5% back at Whole Foods, 5% back on Amazon. So those three cards.
Okay, so I have to give you props on the loophole because there has recently been this Amazon, Apple card, sort of these digital platform cards that are giving exorbitant cashback or slash discounts to kind of break their way into the market. So yes, I think in that case, it makes sense. And you're correct. You can't have an Amex only because there's about 30%, 40% of places that don't take Amex.
Yeah. I feel like now it's more like 20%. I feel like it's getting better.
I mean, food and hotel always, but like restaurant, like
I rarely can't use my Amex. I will say that.
Well, point is, I think that the point you raised was a really valid one, which is there are these online cards that give you substantial points. However, you'll also notice that if you don't pay the balance on time on those cards, it's a way higher percent interest than your typical credit card. So like an Apple card.
Actually, my Amazon card is lower interest than the Delta and Marriott Amex because I just did the numbers.
Go back and just check the total interest versus like the interest if you are late, right? So let's say you don't hit your full minimum payment for a month and there's like this balloon payment portion that at least Apple card I know hits you on. I don't know about the Amazon card because I've resisted myself from getting that card.
Do you shop at Whole Foods?
No.
Okay. If you shop at Whole Foods, it's a no-brainer because literally you're getting 5% back on all your groceries.
I think that's a really good loophole though, because there are these digital cards that give you huge cash back.
It's a real card too.
No, I don't mean it's fake.
Oh, you mean like for Amazon? You mean like?
Yeah, just from like historically digital companies.
Yeah. Okay. So did I convince you with my three card?
You did, because there are some really great deals on the especially if you do shopping online, like with Whole Foods or with Instacart or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, friends, go look at those benefits because you'd be surprised what free stuff.
Yeah, they're not all the same. They're not all the same.
Well, if you listen to me, go look.
No, I'm with you. No, I'm with you. You've convinced me. I mean, you've got to look at like, what is it that you buy a lot of? What stores are you going to spend a ton of money on? And like, I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon. I've been Amazon Prime since like 2013. Like I was an original, but I don't want to get their card, even though they give 5% cash back. I'm just like, it's just one more card I don't really want. But if I did, that 5% would add up.
Yeah, it really, really adds up for me. So speaking of credit cards, one more free thing. So credit freezes used to not be free and now they are. Yay.
What do you mean by credit freeze? Like you call your company and you say,
yeah, if you need to freeze your credit, like just I needed to because my identity got stolen, it's free to freeze it from Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. They passed a law saying it had to be free.
I thought that was always free. When was that passed?
Nope. Now it is.
All right. Sweet. Good to know. Okay.
Okay. Those are my money finance ones. Do you want to pick another category?
Give me a list.
Okay. So here's the whole list. Or I'll give you all the categories. So food and drink, learning and education, health and wellness, household and utilities.
Household and utilities, please.
Okay. This one, some of these kind of vary by state and where you are. So you have to check and see. Some fire departments and the Red Cross offer free smoke detectors. I mean, if you don't have one already. Utility companies. Some utility companies offer free energy saving kits and they'll give you like all this swag to help you save energy in your home, such as Duke Energy does this. So some companies and local governments have water and energy saving rebates that you can sign up for. And then last one, this one is kind of like, I don't know, a little sketch.
Water and saving energy rebates.
Yeah, let me find my details on that. Hold on, because this is my short list.
Because this reminds me of the Progressive, like, safe driving app, right? So if you drive the speed limit everywhere, you get a lower rate. But if you're, like, over the speed limit, then you get a higher rate. So really, it didn't help most. I know I'm being a little bit of a wet blanket here, but, you know, that's me. Like, I'm skeptical of when I get free stuff.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm for all for the free stuff. Let me find, I say use the system, you know, they take enough from us.
I agree. I just want to make sure that like when they say we're to give you better water and energy bills, like, okay, but only if I use less than 100 gallons a week or like what's the catch?
So here's what it says. It says, check with your utility providers as well as your state Department of Energy and also DSI, desireusa.org to find rebates, tax credits, and other financial incentives for residential energy efficiency improvements. Your electric or gas company might also offer free energy audits.
Audits?
Yeah, I guess to see how you're doing.
Right. So here's how I interpret that. Oh, Mr. Emmons, we would give you a rebate, but your refrigerator is from 1999, and thus it's very inefficient. So unless you buy a new $7,000 refrigerator, you...
Yeah, but that actually might be helpful, might save you money. I'm saying go in with eyes wide open, but there might be stuff you can take that's free.
That's where I'm at. Go in, like, looking for the benefit, but also don't, like, just skip the fine print, because that's where the details are.
Yes, exactly. This one is actually really great. This never occurred to me, and this one's kind of like on the sketch list, but this seems pretty okay. This is the only dumpster diving I think I would do. And it's somebody...
Hold on. Actual, like, going in a dumpster?
Well, let me tell you. Okay, because you know dumpster diving, like...
Yeah, I know what you go in, you find food, clothing, you either eat it, sell it.
Yeah, I was reading all the Reddit forums of, like, how to get free stuff. And somebody brought this up, and I was like, you know what? That's smart. If you're going to dumpster dive, this is the dumpster you want to go in.
Yeah. Okay. I'm open to this.
They said if you have a place at a storage unit, and if there's like a communal dumpster, you should dumpster dive there, because people try to like clean out their storage unit, like they have to empty it, so they just throw stuff away. So they were like, look at the dumpsters at storage unit places, and I was like, you know what? That is smart.
You know what? I'm gonna green light that one, because you're gonna find things that are like an old record player you might want, or you know. When, but it's not going to be complete garbage, because it's been in a storage facility. So yeah, I like that one.
And it's going to be, because you know, have you had a storage unit where, and there's like the moment where it's like, oh, I have to be out by tomorrow, so I have to empty this. You're just throwing stuff away.
I've never owned a storage unit.
Okay, so you don't know that this is the experience. Like when you have to empty it, and then you don't plan enough time, and you're like, oh crap! Literally at the end, you're throwing stuff away.
Have you seen that TV show, Storage Unit Wars?
I was on that, Container Wars.
Get out, you were on that?
Yeah. The people in the background are not real. They're like casted.
So you were an extra?
Yeah, it was literally one of the worst days of my life. Can I tell you about it really quickly?
Oh yeah, please, I'm riveted.
Okay, so this was in my background acting days, where I literally was working on a different TV show or movie literally every day. And so this day, this particular day, was Newport Beach. And half the time you don't even know what the show is until you get there. It's like wild how it works. So we realized it was Container Wars by the time we got there. But we were in this junkyard in Newport Beach. It was very cold that day. I know it's not that cold in LA, but it was cold. It was so muddy. Oh my gosh, it was so disgusting and dirty. And it was like 12-hour day. And they had us... They didn't tell us like anything. We would just go. They would like bring us out to the like container, and they told us just to like walk in circles and talk to each other. So we were just like walking in circles and like pointing at this container, like, you know, like point at the container.
Point and smile.
Yeah, I was like walking, pointing, like, wonder what's in that container. The only one I remember was they opened it and it had like a coffin in it.
Oh.
I can't confirm it was all staged, but I'm pretty sure it was all staged.
But your gut says drama stage.
Yeah, I don't think all those containers were... I'm pretty sure those containers were staged. I cannot confirm that, but some of the shows I could definitely confirm when it was like completely set up, you know? And some I could confirm that they were real. This one was like probably 70% I put my money on. They set up those containers.
What percent of reality shows do you think... Not that are completely staged, but in general have like things that have been either planted by the producer or like sort of pressed on the person or the people to do. What percent would you say? 70% of the shows have some element?
I would say 99%.
So 99 have some element of that.
I don't think, I cannot tell you. I went on a lot of reality shows, a lot. I can't think of one. Well, the fact that I was there means it was staged. So actually that makes a bias for me, because I didn't go on the shows that didn't have people there. Okay, so let me reframe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't go on the shows where they weren't bringing in staged people, so...
Oh, so you were already a plant, is what you're saying. So it was already a staged show.
Every show I went on was naturally had an aspect of it.
I'm a skeptic. You know me, I'm pretty skeptical. So I was going to say like 70%, but 99%.
Definitely at least 70. I'm trying to think of like what other shows though, like which wouldn't be staged.
My father is into this show called Below Deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've watched that in the background when I'm at the salon.
How much of that drama do you think is... of course, it's only opinion.
I haven't watched enough to know, but anything where it's like that, where it's like people living together, interacting, the producers are not just sitting back letting stuff happen. I mean, they are, but they're also like...
Do the producers make it known that they're trying to influence, or is it sort of more of a...
We should make this a whole episode, actually.
I know, but I got to know this answer. Are the producers like...
Let's do one and I'll tell you my crazy stories from all the different shows. I have so many stories.
Oh, these, that would be fantastic.
Let's write that down.
But are the producers like, are people aware that they're being manipulated, or are they just feeling like they're being pushed in a direction?
It depends on the show.
Okay, well, you better get your notes because we're gonna dig in deep when we do that episode.
For example, I went on a National Geographic documentary about humans. And it was all staged and it wasn't supposed to be staged. Like it was like National Geographic footage. Oh, look at the humans in real life on National Geographic. And we were actors. It's very upsetting, honestly.
I mean, I've always doubted that because I'm like, we'll get at that. Let's keep going. All right. Let's keep going. Your stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. That's my household and utility section. So how do you feel? We know you don't like the energy saving rebates and the
energy saving stuff. I'm not down with. I think it's just, but the other stuff was great.
Okay, friends, I have some mind blowing and scary facts about your skincare and makeup. Did you know that there's essentially no regulation of skincare and makeup in the US and that most skincare and makeup products are high in endocrine disruptors, which mess with your hormones? These are compounds which are linked to hormonal disruption, thyroid issues, fertility issues, autoimmune conditions, and even cancer. And they are rampant in our skincare and makeup. That's right. When you're putting on that skincare and makeup to supposedly support your skin and help it look better, you actually could be doing damage to your skin and your body and your health. It is a massive problem today. And ladies, if you're thinking of having children, these compounds actually pass through the placenta into the newborn, setting up our children with a toxic burden from birth. And these compounds can last in our system for years and years. In one study testing conventional lipsticks, for example, most were found to be high in lead, and the half-life of lead is up to 30 years. That means when you put on some conventional lipstick, 30 years later, maybe half of that lead has left your bones. There's also a legal loophole from the 1960s where companies can put whatever they want in products and don't have to tell you what it is. They just put it under the label fragrance. This is why safe skincare and makeup is so important to me, and I am so passionate about a company called Crunchy. Their standards are impeccable. Crunchy products contain no toxic ingredients, which they define as any ingredient known to cause harm or health hazard based on available ingredient data and research. Each ingredient actually undergoes a 30-step screening criteria for safety. All the products are gluten-free, with third-party lab testing comparable to food standards. A ton of their products are non-GMO, just look for the badge on their website, and all of their products are vegan, except for their lip oil, which contains organic beeswax from humanely sourced regenerative beekeeping. All of their products are also Leaping Bunny certified, cruelty-free, with no animal testing, and made in the USA, with the exception of wooden pencils and accessories, which are made in American-owned factories in Germany with extremely high social, ethical, and environmental standards. And they use sustainable and environmentally conscious packaging with no plastic for primary packaging. Their products are also incredible. They make, hands down, the best mascara I have ever tried. Their Golden Light Multi-Peptide Facial Serum will make your skin glow. They also have an incredible Daylight Facial Cream and Nightlight Facial Cream, and an awesome makeup cleansing balm. You can check out their foundation as well, and their incredible sunscreen products. If you want safe sunscreen, you've got to try Crunchy. You can shop with me at crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. That's crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. And new customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off eligible orders. New customers with me will also receive a gift from me after your first purchase. So again, for the ultimate in safe skincare and beauty, go to crunchy.com slash /MelanieAvalon and use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 for 10% off, as well as a free gift from me. For all the latest discounts, specials, and announcements from me in the world of safe skincare and clean beauty, definitely get on my email list. That's at MelanieAvalon.com/cleanbeauty. For all the latest text updates, just text SKINCARE, one word, to 877-861-8318. That's the word SKINCARE to 877-861-8318.
Want to pick another category?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you all of them first so you can hear. So food and drink, learning and education, health and wellness, experiences and entertainment, retail and products, digital and legal, fun hacks and free promotions, which I think I'll add that. I'll combine that with experiences.
I mean, is fun hacks and free promotions two different categories?
Fun hacks and free promotions is one, but I'm going to combine that with experiences and entertainment, make that, because it'll be just like the fun category.
I want to do fun hacks and let's do fun hacks.
And experiences and entertainment and stuff. Okay, I'll put that all together. Okay.
I like hacks.
So this one, this should have been a mind-blowing fact, actually, but too late because now it's part of this. I didn't know this. So, like McDonald's will do like the Monopoly card things where it's like, you buy a Coke and you get like a Monopoly piece, that, you know, stuff like that. So technically they have to give you that for free if you ask.
You'll hear on every commercial that advertises a contest, no purchase necessary, but people always get it because it's just easier that way.
They just get it when they buy it.
Yeah. Because otherwise you got to like go online or send in a mail in a thing.
Because technically it would be gambling. It would be considered gambling if they charged you for it. So one of the people on Reddit was saying that their grandmother would mail like 200 letters and get like 200 Monopoly pieces from McDonald's.
Did she ever win?
They said she won like a little bit, but nothing massive.
So our last episode, I think, was the 80s. I think it was the 80s. And one of the huge things was called the Pepsi Challenge, but then they had the Pepsi bottle cap contest where you would collect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Coca-Cola did that. Coca-Cola did that.
So you would collect bottle caps.
I lost all my, I like kept doing it for so long. I had so many points. And then
if you couldn't complete this, the phrase, the Pepsi Challenge, right? You would win some crazy amount of money, but there was like one letter or whatever that you could never get. And I might be getting the phrase wrong. It might have been the Pepsi Challenge wins over Coke or whatever it was. But there was like one letter you just couldn't get. So it's like 75 complete sets minus the one letter. As a 12-year-old kid or 13, whatever I was, you know, early teens, I bought so much freaking Pepsi to try to win a stupid contest. It was insane.
Like, it's like you basically can't win unless you got that one piece. Because they do give that, you know, that piece away somewhere, but you're not going to get it.
There's seven pieces over 300 million people. So, you know, do the math.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, well, okay. So you already knew that, but that was mind-blowing to me. I didn't know that you can just get it for free, technically.
I've got to get it for free, totally unrelated to all your topics. Want to hear it?
Yes.
Did you know if you are smoking cigarettes or vaping and you want to get off, you can call 1-800-QUIT. Or go to 1-800-QUIT.com.
They give you nicotine?
And they will give you free nicotine gum.
I use nicotine. Oh, gum. They do patches? Could I be getting my nicotine patches for free?
I don't think they do patches, but they do free nicotine gum, which if you haven't checked lately, is like $40 a pack.
Yeah, I believe it.
So if you want to quit, call 1-800-QUIT or do 1-800-QUIT.com. And you get free nicotine gum.
That's a good one. And actually, while we're talking about calling, have you heard about the 211 helpline?
No.
You can call that. It's 211. I haven't called it, but apparently if you call it, they have information about food and shelter assistance, mental and physical health options, childcare and after school programs for free, senior care, utility and rent help, and suicide prevention support. Although you probably don't like the socialist sounding idea of this, but there might be stuff there.
No, I'm all for that. There's a lot of people all struggling today. I'm all for that.
Oh, another calling one. You probably know this, but did you know all phones can call 911 even without service?
Yes, I did know that.
So if you want You can give like an old phone to, I don't know, a kid.
Without even a SIM card, if you just dial 911, it'll go through.
How does it do it?
Because the SIM card is just a restriction of service. Like, do you have a paid for service, right? But the phone always has a signal. So you can literally have a phone that's totally defunct and dial 911 and someone will come.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, some other experiences and entertainment and fun stuff. Okay, so this is something that I did forever ago. And I was curious if it's still around. And it is. And I downloaded the app, but I didn't do it. But it's like a fun, free outdoor thing that you can do. Have you heard of geocaching?
Yes, I know. I was so into that for a while.
It's like a free scavenger hunt that you can play whenever you want.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Did you ever find anything cool?
I did find some cool stuff, but it was always leading to another map. It never led to like the direct thing. It was like, oh, you're the winner of the next map. And I'm like, I don't want to do it.
It's like the never ending.
It's the never ending geocaches. So for those who know, geocaches mean basically geographical treasure. Like cache means basically it's treasure, right? So in the 2015 to 2018 was the peak of the geocache, where people would give out these maps that you would have to...
What years would you say?
15 to 18.
Okay, I'm trying to think what... Actually, that tracks, because I was doing it in like 2015, 16.
Yeah, 15 through 18 was like the peak. And you would go out into like the woods and there would be all these clues with symbols and like directions and riddles, and you'd have to figure it out to get to the what they call the geocache, which was this usually metal box or like a X marks the spot where you would dig up the little metal box that had either the prize in it or a clue to the next thing. And it was really cool. And I really enjoyed doing geocaches.
And to clarify, you have both. So you have the coordinates, so you know where it is, but then you have to find it there based on the hints.
Correct. So you'd be in the general vicinity, but like it could be a square mile in the woods.
Oh, wait, I thought it literally took you right to the thing and then you had to like look around right there.
No. You would get into the general vicinity and then there would be like, so you would have to go at, so here's an example. You'd have to go at night because they would use glow in the dark paint. So the paint would only show up in the dark. So if you didn't go at night.
For all of them or for some of the things?
No, for some of them. I'm giving you an example of how they would make it more complex to find the geocache, right? So some would be have only in like, glow in the dark paint, and you could only find it in the evening. Some would have like a magnetic, strong magnet in the area, and they'd be like, check your magnetic, you know, compass and see if you're in the area. And then you use your magnetic compass to like find it. There'd be all these little micro clues to lead you to the final geocache, which was sometimes like cash. Sometimes it was just like,
it was sometimes cash, and you could take the money.
Yes.
I thought you were supposed to take the thing and then put something back in it so somebody else could find it. I think I was unclear.
Geocache was like a very organic sort of thing. So there was no rules or regulations. It was just however you wanted to run your particular geocache, you ran. So there were like hundreds of these. Remember like the early 2000s with microbreweries, with beers, like... There were 80,000 beers. There was Magic 8 and 7. That's what geocache was. It was like the beginning of this sort of nuanced geographical location system and a way to have go on a treasure hunt with your kids or your family and make a fun evening or fun day out exploring the wilderness, right? Or metropolitan area. Didn't matter. And you would use these clues. It's kind of like what you and I were, remember we love, what's that with Nicolas Cage? National Treasure, right? We love that crap because it's fun. It's totally ridiculous, but it's fun, right? That was geocache. It was like the more realistic version of geocache.
Yeah, I did it one time with a friend and I was confused because I don't even remember if we found it. I think we did. Clearly, it did not motivate me to do it again because we had so much trouble finding it, if we found it.
They were a huge thing, like I said, till like 2018, kind of faded out. There's another thing now called...
It's still here there, though, is my point. So if you want to play for free, you can download the app. You can play now.
Thank you. There's another cool thing that's similar. It's like Pseudonaut, and you just type in like what adventure you want to go to, and it will give you coordinates to drive to, and you'll find clues.
What adventure you want to go to?
Like, let's say you say, I want to find a haunted house.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? So you type that in, and then it will say, okay, here are your three options. And you pick one of the three options. I'll get the app and send it over so we can have it in the notes. I cannot remember the app. It's something not, pseudo not, astronaut, something not. So what you do is you punch in like what you want to do, what the adventure you want to have, and what your radius is, like 10 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles, whatever it is. And then it will say, okay, you want to find a haunted house within 5 miles? Follow these clues. And then you follow these clues, and it takes you on this sort of adventure. And some people have said it's led them to crazy, weird adventures. And then other people are like, yeah, it was totally worthless. But there have been a number of people that have posted on Reddit and other threads like that. They're like, this, you know, I think it's called Pseudonaut. They've had just the crazy experiences.
Oh, that's fun. I want to do that. Okay. So free fun. Let me see if I have. Oh, here's another entertainment one. This one is really, really smart. So if you go to theater a lot, like I do, most of the theaters, even like where I go to the Fox, where they show like the touring Broadways, all the ushers are volunteers. So if you want to see free theater, you can volunteer to be an usher. Like Broadway shows. I don't know about Broadway. Maybe. Okay. So I just looked it up. Looks like Broadway, it's often paid professionals. Although that's a way to get paid and see a show. Maybe even better. But I know, yeah. So like, for example, though, the Fox that I go to here in Atlanta, it says volunteers are required to commit to at least 12 events per year and go to an orientation. And so, yeah, you get to see 12, you know, at least 12 shows for free.
That's awesome.
And then going back to, okay, so this is something where you have to like look them up individually, but a lot of museums and zoos actually will have free days on certain days. So you have to look up where you want to go, but like the Smithsonian does this, the Getty Center, MoMA. What is MoMA? MoMA.
Museum of Modern Art.
Okay. Yeah. So look up museums. There might be free days. And then one that Scott loves, look up your credit card up in events again, because they often will have stuff as well for like museums and stuff like that. So want another category?
Your turn. You pick.
Okay. I'm going to do food and drink because this has one of my favorite ones. Did you know? Okay. You know, oh wait, you don't go to Whole Foods. Do you ever go to Whole Foods?
I've been, but it's like rare, once every 6 months.
Okay. Well, you know the fish counter?
Yes, I do know the fish counter.
So if people like to eat like full fish, so people might see the fish counter and be like, oh, I would love to eat this whole fish because that looks, you know, like restaurant style, but I'm intimidated. Did you know the Whole Foods fish counter, they will debone and fillet your fish for free?
I did not know that.
So you can pick out your fish and then they'll turn it into like easily cookable form for free. Yep.
Huh.
This is like my favorite hack. Probably specific to me about how excited it makes me, but it was a game changer in my life.
I'm thinking like that's a Melanie like super thing because you love seafood. So like you're going to debone and fillet it for me for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you like pick out your fish. They take it in the back. They like cut it open, take the bones out, make it into like very cookable, give it back to you. And then when you cook it, you just put it in the oven and it's still like in the fish, you know, like the skin and the head and everything is still there.
I like that. No, I'm a big fan of that. So I always was, but have now become an even bigger fish snob now that I'm living on the Jersey Shore. So I can get fresh seafood every day, like practically caught off the boat. And the difference in the flavor and the taste, and it just, it's amazing.
Speaking of, we should do an episode on fish fraud because it is shocking.
Melanie, I would love to do that. I also, you and I once had a brief debate on farmed salmon versus non-farmed, and you were like, farmed is good. And I'm like,
well, it depends. That's not a blanket. No.
True. You did
responsibly farm, like you seek out the producer.
Yes, you did. You did make a claim that it wasn't just any farmed, but it is so hard to get non-farmed salmon these days. It's kind of crazy.
No, they have tons of it at Whole Foods.
Well, see, here's the thing. Just like with everything else, so organic used to mean one thing. Free range used to mean one thing, but they continue to change those definitions as they have changed the definition of farmed fish, right? So,
well, it's like wild caught. They have wild caught salmon. There's a lot of wild caught fish at Whole Foods.
But like if you keep your salmon in like an outdoor ocean tank for 6 months, it's quote, not farm fed. It's a natural, but it's technically a farm salmon, but better than your regular farm salmon. So there's a whole range of like farmed salmon, et cetera. But it's really hard. Like, and if you do find wild caught Hawkeye salmon, which is, in my opinion, the best, you're paying.
Sockeye?
Isn't that what I said?
Oh, I thought you said Hawkeye.
No, I'm not. Not for MASH. No. Sockeye. If you're paying, it's like almost triple the price. It's like 2.3 times the price of the next priced salmon.
We should just do a whole episode on fish.
Yeah, I really think not just fish, like all seafood, shrimp, scallops.
We could talk about the mercury levels.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Some more. Okay, I mentioned this on a show before, but I'll say it again. You can, at Trader Joe's, you can sample anything except alcohol. Do you ever shop at Trader Joe's?
Very rarely.
You can sample anything, and they'll open it except for alcohol.
I think we did talk about this in one of your facts.
Yeah, I think so.
It was a while ago though.
So free stuff there. And then this one is another one that's, I'm not endorsing this. I'm just saying that the Costco's return policy is insane. They'll take back anything, almost anything, including like if you ate the whole bag. But they will flag you if you do that regularly, and then they might revoke your membership. But if you do it like once, they will take it back. They'll take back an empty bag of nothing. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. The thing is, I'm all for like you eat half a bag and you're like, this something's not right with this. Take it back. Or eat the whole bag because your family ate it and like you used the whole bag for like five people.
And then you realized it was like not good.
Yeah, that I think that's all legit. So I like that policy from Costco and I applaud it. So, you know, use it, but also be responsible as a consumer.
Exactly. And apparently they will, because apparently some people do abuse the policy and they give you a warning first and then they might kick you out. So don't abuse the policy.
Thrilling announcement, friends. My EMF blocking product line is finally here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get 10% off. Did you know that EMFs are considered a type 2B carcinogen by the IARC? They are linked to so many health issues, including headaches, migraines, fatigue, and even potential fertility issues. Thankfully, there are a lot of ways to reduce your exposure, and one of the best ways is to not use Bluetooth AirPods. And also, do not put your phone by your head. In fact, did you know that if you look in your iPhone, go to the legal section, and then RF exposure, Apple literally suggests that you use hands-free options like speakerphone, headphones, or other similar accessories to reduce your exposure to EMFs. Yes, it says this in your iPhone. And here's the other thing. Even wired headphones, being digital, can conduct EMFs into your head. That's why I made Avalon X EMF-free air tubes. They're basically like your normal wired headphones, but they turn into analog closer to your ear, so it stops transmission of EMFs into your head. I'm launching with black ones and rose gold. You can use adapters to make them fit any phone. And the reason this launch took so long, we're talking actually years, is because I was so neurotic on getting good sound quality. I cannot even tell you how many different prototypes I tried, but we finally have them and you can get them now. Go to AvalonXEMF.us and use the code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That's AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That link will actually redirect to my partner's website at Shield Your Body, and that coupon code Melanie Avalon will get you 10% off site-wide for all of their EMF blocking products, including my air tubes. AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon for 10% off.
while we're talking about like sketchy things, this is another dumpster diving thing. My friend suggested this one. I would not do this personally, but he said when he was young, like when he was like a teenager, he was like, him and his friends were like, you know, didn't have a lot of money. So they would go to pizza places after close because the pizza places would throw out the pizzas every night. And they would get them from the dumpster. But they were like in the box still.
Listen, I'm not going to judge if you're a hungry kid, hungry person, you're starving, you need pizza, go for it. But I'm going to tell you this. There's safer places to go without like sauce and cheese, i.e. bagel places.
The bagels that get thrown out?
What's that store called?
Like you're talking about like crispy, like donuts?
No. Like bagel chains.
I don't know. I don't eat bagels. I like severely dislike bagels.
50, 60 bagels that there's nothing wrong with them. They're just throwing them out because they can't sell them the next day. So in the 80s, when I worked at a very specific restaurant with a very fancy name that I'm not going to say so I don't get sued, we would take the rolls back that people didn't eat and use them the next day.
Wait. You said this was at a... Wait, what?
This was a very fancy restaurant that I was a busboy at.
And did the manager know you were doing this?
The manager told me to do it. Did you think I was going to bring back... Like, I was like, I'm throwing them out. And the manager's like, Scott, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm throwing out table four's crap. He's like, those are two untouched rolls. Use them for 2 days. So I would have to put it back in the roaster and like roast it again for another day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that would not. I will say I feel like that's harder to get away with now.
It might be, but in the 80s, that was like, you know, you did not throw away a day old bread. You put it back in and you heated it and you served it again.
I will say I didn't, thankfully, because I worked for 5 years in fine dining at multiple steakhouses, chains, and I actually didn't see any of that, which is good to know, which is, you know, I worked at quite a few restaurants.
Yeah. I mean, the majority of like high-end steakhouses would not do this, but this place had been there so long, it sort of had the...
Was it a chain or is like a one place?
One place.
That's not... Well, don't eat the rolls, people.
Well, they're long since gone, but...
Okay, and then some other thing. Oh, okay, just while we're... Okay, something else that he said that he did, my friend who said that he went dumpster diving for pizza, he said... he said they would... Like hotels that do continental breakfast, they would just like... walk in and eat the breakfast.
Okay, I gotta chime in here. Listen, people, if you need food or you're hungry or you just want like a decent bagel, right? Or decent scrambled eggs, every hotel in America is having conferences for pharmaceutical companies, for biotech companies, for tech companies, for conferences of all kinds. There's always a buffet. All you have to do is get up the escalator, walk in, act like you own the joint, grab a plate, fill your plate, sit down, eat, and go. As long as you don't reek of body odor and look like you haven't slept in 7 days, you'll be fine. You could literally live on hotel food, you know, activity, meaning like, you know, the conferences for months or years. I'm not condoning it, but there are people in this world that need that kind of help. And it's literally as easy as putting on a blazer, a shirt, and just not smelling like BO. And you're good to go.
That's so funny. I don't know. I just got back from a conference. I feel like it depends on the conference, how intense they are with looking at like lanyards and stuff.
I'm going to say this. The lanyard is only a manifestation of the person's mind who's checking the lanyard. Right. As long as you have whatever color band is on the lanyard on your thing, you just kind of flash it in their face and walk straight by them like you own the joint.
Act like you own the place. It is amazing what you can do if you like.
You can do anything. You just take that colored lanyard, you flash it up, you walk by them like, don't you know who I am? And I promise you, if they even do approach you, you just look at them like, What are you doing? They'll just walk away. They're not gonna get into a conversation.
They're often volunteers, I realize.
Yeah, they're not going to get into a confrontation with a potential like big wave that they don't know over nothing. They're just not going to, they're not going to do it.
Especially if they're volunteers, which they often are.
Yes. So like I've often said to my wife, I'm like, if we ever go homeless, the worst case scenario is we're going to live on hotel, you know, conferences. Like literally that's the worst case of our lives.
So funny. Actually, I had this epiphany because you know me, Scott, I'm like very rules oriented. So I don't, it would be hard for me to try to sneak into something just because of, oh, do you hear that plane? It would be hard for me to try to sneak into something just because I would be all nervous about what I don't know. I'd be nervous, but I had this epiphany.
So I can relate because I used to be Mr. Rule follower, like follow every rule, do all the right things. But what I've discovered is like in the end, like those minor things, if necessary, right? I'm not saying violate the law or abuse the system, but I'm saying in a situation where it's necessary for your survival, like no one's going to really care that much.
No, for sure. My point is like the moment I realized, oh, really, if you just act like you know what you're doing, you can do a lot of things, was when I was hosting a red carpet premiere in Vegas for the Biohack Yourself premiere. And it was like this very, very fancy party, real high ticketed, you know, really intense to even get in that room. But I was one of the red carpet hosts. So I was like on the red carpet and I had been there all day and I didn't have a lanyard or anything because I was one of the hosts. Literally, that was like one of the longest days of my life. And so it was like the party was over. I was done. The party was not over, but the hosting was over. So it was time for me to just like be there. And I needed to get something out of the room. And so I left and I came back and they were not going to let me in because I didn't have a lanyard. And that's when I realized like, oh, you just act like you know what you're doing. Cause I was just like, I wasn't having it. You would have been so proud, Scott. I was like, I have been here 12 hours. I'm a host. I'm supposed to be in here. And I just like walked in. And they didn't say anything.
Just hearing it, I'm so proud.
I was like, no. I was like, you are not going to tell me I can't be here when I've been here all day.
You're going to hold me to a lanyard standard?
Like, I am supposed to be in this room. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a no. The big no. All right, what else you got? What else you got?
So let's see. What other food ones? Oh, apparently deli counters. Have you done this? The butt ends, the like cut off. Like ends of like meat and cheese and stuff. And you can often ask for that.
I haven't done it, but I'm aware of it.
Okay. Some culinary demos. So stores like Williams Sonoma and such often have free tastings. I guess what we're talking about, I guess the free samples at like Costco, but you have to have a membership for that. Let me see if that was all the food ones.
You just need a lanyard.
Costco now, actually. Wait, you said you do shop? You don't shop at Costco?
Don't shop at Costco.
Okay, they have made it. It used to be easy to like, I didn't do this because I have my own membership, but it used to be easy to go on, like get somebody's card and use it and go in. Nope, they are intense now. I saw somebody get like literally kicked out the other day. It's wild.
When the episode's over, I'll instruct you how to bypass that system.
I don't need to. I have my own card. But I want to hear your story. But I want your advice.
I'm an 80s kid. We learned how to work the system. That was our whole goal in life.
Okay, wait, two more food ones. Apparently Starbucks gives out coffee grounds for composting, which is cool. And then this one. So there's this website called, this is really cool. It kind of reminds me of the one you were talking about with the adventures. There's a website called fallingfruit.org and it has an interactive map that shows where you can harvest your own fruit, as well as herbs, nuts, and vegetables from trees and plants that grow on public land. And you can sort by location or fruit type.
I like that.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that.
And then, oh, this one is huge. So Disney World. I remember when I realized this and I was like, I've been wasting so much money. If you're in Disney World and you're buying water bottles all the time, well, A, hot water in that plastic is not good for you. But B, they give you free water everywhere.
Let's not just skip over the hot plastic thing. When you take a bottle of hot plastic water and ingest it, it's toxic.
It's so bad.
So bad.
I shudder now. If I ever have to drink from a plastic bottle, like at the airport or whatever, it's just like...
You know, I know people think this is sort of like a third world rich person problem, or not third world, first world, you know, rich person problem, but the amount of plastics that leach in through heated plastic water is insane. Insane. And like, oh, it's BPA free. BPA-free does not mean it's safe. Those other plastics are just as toxic.
They have these other compounds instead, like BPS, and these other compounds haven't been tested as much.
Yeah, so that's what my point. Like, they're just as toxic or worse. Like, it's not good.
Yeah. So point being is, I remember the moment I realized this. And so in Disney World, all the different like kiosks and stuff where you would go and buy a water bottle, they'll give you free water in a cup. So you don't have to be buying water.
Yeah. So there are several states, and this leads me to a little gripe I have that we'll talk about. There are several states, if you walk into a restaurant and ask for a cup of water, they cannot refuse.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, like so New York, California, New Jersey, others, many others. If you say, I'm very thirsty, can I please just have a glass of plain water? They cannot refuse under the law. They have to give you water so you can get hydrated due to the law. But here's what makes me infuriated about this law. These same states, 47, have laws that you cannot collect rainwater.
Oh, it's interesting. Because it's toxic?
No, because they don't want you to have your own free freaking water.
Are you sure that's why? And it's not because like acid rain?
Because there have been multiple tests done on rainwater versus the town water. And the rainwater is always more pure than the town water.
Water rights laws. Water belongs to the state. What?
Yeah. Right?
Even rainwater that falls on your roof. Reduce the flow to someone's legally owned supply. They own the rain. I object.
That's like one step removed from owning the oxygen, and it really pisses me off. Like, you don't have right to the rainwater. Wait, so the rain coming down from the sky is not mine. So you're going to dig, like, and what makes me so frustrated about that law is they're chlorinating, fluoridating.
Mm-hmm. And then giving it back to you.
And then giving it back the same rainwater that you would have collected on your own, right? It really pisses me off because I know if you collect that rainwater, even if you didn't filter it, it'd be fine. But just run it through a basic, simple cartridge, you know, charcoal filter, 5-micron filter. That water is going to be pure as the day is driven rain. Like, here's the thing about evaporation. When you evaporate water, called distillation in scientific terms, means that the only things that rise to the top is the water. So when it rains down, the only other thing that it catches is a small dust molecule. So why is collecting rainwater illegal in 47 states?
Well, I don't know when did you check out that 47? Because this is saying that the laws are changing a lot in a lot of states.
Because people like me are pushing back.
So like, for example, Texas, Oregon, and California now encourage it. Colorado used to be highly restrictive, and now they allow up to 110 gallons per household in rain barrels.
They allow 110. Why would they allow?
I guess the point of this was that they were one of the really highly restrictive ones, and even they're opening up.
There should be no allowance. Like, they should not have the right to allow you to collect rainwater. This is literally coming from the sky, and they're like, oh, you can collect 110 gallons. No, I can collect as much as I want. It's rainwater.
Yes. Okay.
Am I crazy? Am I crazy?
No. I'm just calling you off the ledge. Okay. We got it. I agree. But you can get free water at Disney World.
All right. I'm so sorry. I know you're on Disney and the free water.
I agree with you. I do.
But like literally, like you can't collect your own rainwater.
I'm sponging you, Scott. I'm sponging you.
Okay. For the folks that are new to the audience, when Melanie sponges me, it means I got your point. Let's move on.
And this is perfect because it's a sponge, which takes water in.
It's a great moment. It's a great moment in the podcast.
Yes. Should I rapid fire some other miscellaneous ones now?
Yes.
Okay. So, apparently I need to explore the world of libraries because apparently different libraries, if you have a library card, they have lots of stuff beyond books. Well, A, a lot of them have audiobooks, which is cool. But B, there's so many Reddit forums, people talking about what they have at their libraries. Like apparently a lot of libraries have like a cake pan section so that if you need to like bake like a cake in the shape of like something random that you can like rent a cake, you can like check out a cake pan and give it back. But apparently there's like lots of stuff at libraries. I don't remember last time I went to a library.
The library is the most underutilized public resource of the modern century.
Probably. You know, that might be a true statement. I feel like there's a lot of stuff in there for free, literally. You just got to bring it back.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and then did you know there's quite a few tuition-free colleges?
No.
It's like you work at the college. So I actually saw this when I was looking up restaurant reviews, and I found this restaurant at the College of the Ozarks. Nice restaurant, lots of good reviews. And it's all the staff is the students because the students like work at the college, and that's their tuition. And they also do stuff like this at Berea College, Alice Lloyd College, City College of San Francisco, and New York's Excelsior Scholarship something.
Like that? No, I'm good. I'm all good.
Academic articles. So if you ever can't get access to a journal article, which happens a lot for me, but you know, maybe not be something that a lot of people are looking for all the time, but you can often email the actual authors of the, well, A, check out ResearchGate because it's a website that often has the articles for free. B, you can always try just emailing the researchers and one of them will probably give it to you because they often have equal rights on the paper. And even if they don't, they'll probably give it to you anyways. I have found in my experience of reaching out to guests for the show that if you reach out to like these, a lot of these researchers on studies are on different studies, they're like really excited to like share and talk about their work. If they're not like, you know, really big with like their books and everything, like if they're just like a researcher on studies, they get really excited when you, I don't want to make blanket statements, but I have had the experience of researchers being so honored that I emailed them about their studies is the point.
Okay. Good with that.
And then you won't like this one. There's a lot of free or low cost medications.
No, I may very much like that.
You do? Like pharmaceutical, like big pharma?
I left big pharma for a reason, Mel.
Right. So you do or don't like that?
It depends. So let's hear it.
So, I mean, it just says that you can get some free or low cost meds with things like Rx Assist, GoodRx.
GoodRx is fantastic. Rx Assist is also great. Yeah, you should always utilize those resources. They're really, really good at making sure that your insurance pays the bulk of the cost, and or if you're on state or Medicare or Medicaid, they will assist you in getting that medication for the lowest possible price, which the government, by the way, negotiates, which most people don't know. So yeah, you're totally entitled to that.
Okay, awesome. So there are free eye exams for seniors over 65, even who don't have insurance, from Eye Care America. And there's a lot of free preventative care under the ACA Act. So vaccines, blood pressure checks, mammograms, et cetera. You just have to look it up, see if you qualify. And then I think that's almost everything. Oh, okay. This one I like.
I just want to go back. GoodRx does a lot of good for a lot of people. So if you're not on GoodRx and you're paying a lot of money for your prescriptions, please go to either that company or an affiliated company. It will dramatically reduce your copay.
I've often found, even with insurance, sometimes it's cheaper for me to just get it through GoodRx than the contracted insurance rate. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's true, because GoodRx, it's complicated, but it's probably a whole episode, Mel, but yes.
So, and then, okay, some last ones to end with. Kids under 2 travel free on some airlines and also on Amtrak if they're in your lap. And okay, here's one last one. This is one that you have to ask for, but it's just something that you should always ask. And going down the Reddit forums, apparently the employees like doing this often, which is ask for upgrades at hotels. Just ask, and they might give it to you, especially if you're nice.
So my experience has been this. If you have a Marriott card or a Hilton card and you ask for an upgrade, you'll almost always get it for zero charge.
It's part of the benefit, though. That's that's like included with the card. So this is like going beyond that. I'm saying like any hotel.
So like, let's say off season, right? They want to make you happy. They want to make, but if you're not a member of their plan, whether it's through a credit card or it doesn't even matter, like you're just a member of their plan, they will always go above and beyond to help you. So you don't need to sign up for their credit card to get that benefit, right? You can just be a Marriott Rewards member and they'll give you an upgrade because then they'll think, okay, great. This person will say good things about us and we'll get good stuff.
And also I'm saying like, yes. And also if you're just at a, like say a hotel that's not even like a chain, like ask for an upgrade because it's not like you're like asking for something that they don't want to give you. Like the people on the Reddit forums were saying like, if they have empty rooms, it only benefits them to upgrade you because they gave a lot of reasons.
Totally agree.
One guy was saying what he does is he was saying he always books a double bedroom. And then when he gets there, he says he only needs one bed. He said he often gets an upgrade then because they actually need more. They need more rooms with.
He's playing the game, but that's also fine. But the point is.
Wait. So, but how does that work? So basically like he says like, oh, I actually only need one bed. So then they often will upgrade him because.
There's many fewer rooms with two queen beds than there are.
And they need those for like families and stuff.
Right. So he's playing on the fact that he understands that they're going to get less occupants for a two queen room than a one king room. Right. But take that out of the equation. They still want to make you happy, right? So never, ever not ask. Always ask. Always ask. The worst thing they're going to say is, oh, I'm sorry, we're booked. Or, no, I'm sorry, we have nothing. But more than likely, they're going to say, oh, yeah, actually, we can do that. I'm saying 7 out of 10 times, they're going to give you your room.
I have literally been given like, and it's like an insane room. And it was because I was also be nice. It's because I was like patient and nice. And the manager was like, you've been so nice. Like while another customer was like complaining, you know, about stuff. He's like, I'm just going to give you this room. And it was like the penthouse suite. It's like, okay.
Melanie, I think you hit on a key aspect of the whole thing is like, just be nice and polite, right? So when you're sitting on the 25-minute airline line, they have been dealing with people that are yelling at them and screaming at them and angry. If you're just nice, they will move. They'll type in more keys than you could imagine in your lifetime to get you upgraded or on the next flight or whatever it is. If you're just nice, it's human nature. I mean, think about it, right? Like, I can't tell you how many flights I was in like row 33 and then I'm in row 2 because I was nice.
Yep. I wanted to end on that note because it's such a good note to end on, but I did leave out massage schools will often have really cheap massages because they're training the students. And then there's one more. Oh, rest stops. I mean, I guess people know that, but there's like often drinks and food and stuff there. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I got to say, I was not at all prepared for this topic, but I loved it because we could probably go on another 3 hours on like free stuff and how to get it. But it was a really interesting, unique topic that I don't think anyone else covers. Like, I think we're the first to really like dive into like, how do you get free or inexpensive things that you need in your life. So I think great job, Mel.
Thank you. And to bring it all full circle, the one I started out with, if you do nothing else from this whole list, if you do nothing else, go type in your state, unclaimed assets, look up your name. You might have $250 waiting for you like I did, which, you know, theater tickets right there.
Which also I look at myself as like a very educated person on that. And I'm like, I did not know that. So hey, props, Mel.
I know, right? Isn't it interesting that that's not more like more well known?
Yeah, gotta give it to you. Gotta give it to you.
Yeah, I definitely expected that to be. I was shocked. I didn't know about it. Okay, well, I think that's all the things. So for listeners, friends, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Definitely, if you have your own suggestions of free things, we would love to hear them. And as a brief reminder, MKB's daughter is this week's winner of our Magnesium 8 giveaway. Send a screenshot of your review to contact@mindblownshow.com, and we will send you a bottle of Avalon X Magnesium 8. And yeah, this was super fun. I'm looking forward to next week.
Thank you. Wonderful episode. Loved it. Did not expect this money-saving aspect. Gotta say, respect it. And really, I think you gave people a lot of great ways to save money and save time. So, kudos.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome, awesome. Well, I will talk to you next week.
All right, Mel. Talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mind Blown podcast. Don't worry, your brain can store about 1 million gigabytes of data. That's enough memory to record continuous TV shows for over 300 years. That said, psychology suggests that your memory is actually just your memory of your last memory, leading to a process called memory distortion, where your memories change over time. If you're enjoying the show, remember to subscribe and write a brief review in Apple Podcasts, and definitely let us know what you find most mind-blowing.